Are you ready to magnify the name of the Lord this morning? Come on, sing with me. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation. From generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. Say, we worship you.
We worship you.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
We worship. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So good, so good, so good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Come on, sing, Lord. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation. Generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
we worship. Yes, you are. So good.
So good. So good.
So good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Come on, confess his goodness. Sing, you are good. All the time. All the time. You are good. You are good. All the time. All the time. You are good. You are good. All the time. You are good, sing, you are good all the time.
All the time.
You are good. Come on, hands up. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation. Generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. Come on, one more time. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. If you know you're a child of God, I just want to see you move a little bit. That's enough reason to get me dancing. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show his excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. Come on, sing it out. We are a chosen generation.
Called for to show His excellence.
All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor. I know who I am. Chosen generation, called for to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called for to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am,
what He says I am,
where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor. I know who I am. Sing, oh, 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 oh. I know who I am. Oh, 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 oh. I know who I am.
All right. I want you to find at least 5 people around the altar or in your seats, and I want you to say, hello, my name is, and then introduce yourself as whatever God's called you. So hello, Vianney. I am chosen. Hello, Lindsay. I'm holy. Hello, Tammy. I'm more than a conqueror. Hey, Mark. Hey, Mark. I'm a king and a priest. Come on, speak the word over your life this morning. Because that's who you are. That's what the Word of God says you are. Hallelujah. Hey, Roz, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So are you. Come on, clap, clap, clap. Come on, sing it out. Right to sing that song, because it's not us, it's Jesus in us that makes us righteous. It's Jesus in us that makes us beautiful. It's Jesus that makes us holy, amen. That's not arrogant, that's the word. That's of being a co-heir of Christ because we're adopted, amen. It's that name Jesus that lets us say that. Just go ahead and get your hands up and just start saying the name of Jesus. Whenever you call on his name, he answers you.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The
The praise of your glory.
Sound good? Come on, sing aloud. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name.
Come on, let's lift our hands all over this place from the back to the front. Man, we are so blessed that we get to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we get to enter into His presence, that we get to encounter and experience Jesus Christ. Come on, I don't want just a church that does it out of religion. We want to be a church that does it out of relationship, that does it out of love, that does it out of reality. Come on, can I hear a praise from the back to the front? Can we lift up our voice from the back to the front? We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Come on, let's treat this last song like it's the last song we ever get to praise, like it's the last song we ever get to worship here on earth. Thank you, Jesus.
Death could not hold you.
Come on.
Bow down before.
Come on, from the back
you.
To the front. Come on, you sound beautiful. Come on, it sounds like heaven in here.
The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again.
You have no rival.
You have no equal.
Name of Jesus.
What's so powerful about the song is when some people get a diagnosis of cancer, it's the biggest thing in their life, but we understand that He has no rival. Cancer is no rival for Jesus. Then when we have financial trouble, He has no equal. Any issue in our lives, He has no rival. He has no equal. He is the name above all names. All names. Man, I want to declare this as a church. I don't want to sing this. I want to declare this over our lives individually. So whatever the issue is, whatever the problem may be, I want to go ahead and, man, look. Voice is cooked. Voice is about gone. Fingers are probably about nimble, because for the last weekend we've been praising with about 1,000 teenagers lifting up the name of Jesus. So look, what I love about praise and worship is it doesn't have to be them, it's us. So here's what we're going to do. Us are going to get you started, and then we are going to drop out, and us is going to declare that He has no rival. He has no equal. He is the name above all names. So come on.
You have no rival.
Go ahead and sing that. Maybe you don't normally sing. Maybe you don't normally let it out. But from the back to the front, let's declare it. Go ahead. Come on, church. Come on, church.
Yours is.
Go ahead and sing that. Go ahead and declare it.
Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names.
Come on.
You have no rival.
Come on. I want to hear your voice. Come on, declare that. Go ahead, come on. There it is. Come on. Come on, don't let it go down. Come on. There it is. Come on. That's worship. Come on. Another level. A little deeper. A little bit louder. With a little more boldness. With a little more faith this time. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that You are Lord, that You have no rival, You have no equal, You are the name above all names, that we won't have to wait to eternity to experience redemption, but we can have it today. So any issue, any lack, any healing, anything that needs to encounter You today, Lord, that it would come into alignment by the end of this service. Come on. If you're excited about Jesus, on the way back to your seat, I want to hear the mightiest shout, the mightiest declaration for the name of Jesus. On the way back to your seat, just go ahead and tell three people. Tell three people that he has no rival, he has no equal, that he is the name above all names.
Okay, that's enough talking, enough mingling. Go ahead and have a seat now. Okay? Thank you.
Behind those walls right there, hundreds of kids come to learn about God. And we just want to invite you to come and join us, teach your children about Jesus, either on Sunday morning with his kids or on Wednesday night with Uproar Kids. If you would like more information on how you can get involved, you can email me at aaron@histabernacle.com.
Hey guys, listen, we save souls here, but we also save lives. So we want to let you know about the next blood drive that will be held by the Red Cross right here at His Tabernacle, August 10th from 2 until 6 p.m. You can email Pastor Chad at pastorchad@histabernacle.com, or you can arrive and show up and give your blood. Again, August 10th from 2 to 6 p.m. right here.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? Now, that's kind of weak for y'all having 2 more hours of sleep than the rest of us, because y'all went at 9 a.m., so I need you guys one more time to say good morning. How y'all doing this morning? Amen, amen. Pastor did this first service, so I'm going to take the liberty to do it as well. Take out your cell phones, take a selfie with the person next to you, and just post it on social media. Just say, I love to be in church, and tag His Tabernacle. Y'all going to be on your phones anyways, so take out your phone and take a selfie right now. All right, go ahead. It's okay. Wow, the Barabies know what a selfie is. Come on, somebody. If you don't know what a selfie is, it's okay. Just find somebody next to you to explain it to you. Awesome, awesome. Make sure you guys put that on social media, Facebook, Instagram. Make sure you tag His Tabernacle, tag the pastors. We want just everybody to know that it is fun being in the house of the Lord. Amen? It is fun to live life with one another. You don't have to live this life alone. You don't have to be bored. You don't have to be, depressed. You don't have to be lonely. This is the house where we can live life together with you. Amen? 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 And don't take that long to post to Facebook. It's okay. Again, welcome to our 11 a.m. service. We're so excited you could come and worship with us. If this is your first time attending and I just asked you to take an awkward selfie, can I just see your hand raised up? Awesome. Come on, keep your hand up. Give it up for our first time attendees. Thank you so much for coming to worship with us. With your hand lifted up, if you have not received a guest packet, our guest hosts are coming to you right now. You'll find some awesome information about our church inside that packet. But most importantly, after our service, please meet us out on the patio underneath the tent. We'll have some donuts for you, some coffee for you. You get to meet some of the other people on our staff. And we want to just say thank you again one more time. There are thousands of churches in the country, but you came to the best one this morning. Amen. So come on, give it up for our first-time attendees. While you guys are clapping, give it up for our live stream family. We love you guys. And in addition, give it up for the His Tabernacle Ithaca campus that are live streaming right now. Awesome. We love you guys so much. You guys are family. Well, here at His Tabernacle, we do 2 main things, all right? Number one is called Next Steps. Say Next Steps. Every single week, we have phenomenal teaching every single Sunday. But who knows there's a Monday through Saturday? Amen? Okay, please raise your hand. Work with me. Who knows there's a Monday through Saturday? Amen. And we want to ensure that you are getting deeply rooted in your faith. There's nothing worse than you not knowing what you believe and also why you believe it. So during the week, we have a class called Rock Solid Faith that occurs on Tuesday nights, Wednesday mornings, and Thursday evenings, where you can come and guess what? Get a rock solid faith. 3 dynamic teachers, 3 different times, so there are no excuses for why you cannot make it. But if your schedule does not allow it, we also have them online. You want to make sure that this week you get plugged into Rock Solid Faith. So who's going to be there? Awesome, awesome. So in addition to Rock Solid Faith, we also have something called groups. Shout groups. So we want to feature a group this week. Can we have that slide up? We got the Pruitts this week. Come on, give it up for the Pruitts. They are out of Watkins Glen. So if you're in the Watkins Glen, Montour Falls, Odessa area, and you're not part of a group, you want to make sure that you get joined into this group. They are fun people. They are loving people. They are excited. They always have great food. So you may want to make sure that you are there. But if you don't live in that area, we have them all across Chemung County, all across Steuben County. We have one in Wyalusing and Towanda, PA. I mean, it is crazy, okay? I want you to make sure you are plugged into a group. There is nothing worse than trying to live your life by yourself. We are here to live life with you. Amen? So show of hands, who is already in a group? You are brilliant for being in a group. If somebody is next to you that did not raise your hand, drag them to your group this week. Amen? Make them feel loved. Make them feel welcome. And let them walk away saying, I know this is a place where I don't need to live life alone. Amen? Now, at this time, I'd like to introduce the man that kind of had us crazy this weekend. The man that had a vision and birthed in his spirit for the past 7 years and been running with it. Can y'all just put it together for Pastor Cody Spencer?
Guys, this last weekend was ridiculous. I can't talk, which is great. It's good for some people. I think my wife might be happy. Some of the youth leaders might be pretty excited that they don't have to hear my voice this week. But no, we were so blessed, man. If you saw videos and pictures online, wow, God absolutely moved. Last night, actually, there's two moments that stood out like crazy. On Friday night, there was an altar call, and teenagers were literally jumping over a hockey barrier to get to the altar first because they were showing their hunger for Jesus. I haven't seen most adults jump over a barrier to get to Jesus. If live stream's not working, they won't come to church. They won't even jump over the barrier to get to the building. I'm sorry. That was rude. I apologize. It was mean. I'm sorry. And then last night, there was a moment of worship where literally the band exited and they didn't stop singing, "Abba, I belong to you." It was so powerful. For like 10 minutes, just voices. I lied. There was another moment that stood out. Friday night, the arena pretty much shut us down because there was probably 200 teenagers chanting at me every time I come up to end praise and worship all night. And they'd get louder and louder as I was coming up. They wanted it all night. It was powerful. It was absolutely powerful. But it was really cool, and I'm actually going to transition into our time of giving. But first, if you volunteered, can you just stand to your feet? If you spent any time as a volunteer at Upper Conference here, can you stand to your feet? Thank you so much. Because of your sacrifice, your time off of work, whatever you sacrificed, man, we get to do this for this generation, and thank you for playing your part in moving ministry and impacting lives and changing lives.
Amen. I just have to share, there was a businessman that was there seeing all of the volunteers and all of the work that was happening, and he said, "I can't get my paid employees to do this, yet all of you volunteered in such a way that you shined Jesus even to our community. Thank you."
Seriously, it was absolutely powerful. In Genesis chapter 14, 17 through 20, I'm going to read this real quick. It says, after Abram returned from his victory over, and all his allies, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem and a priest of God Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abram with a blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. And this was Abram's response. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had received. A lot of people get mad in church when we talk about money because they think it's a religious thing. But can I tell you, when we give money, it opens up an opportunity for relationship for other people. It opens up an opportunity to thank God for the victory he's brought us. Everything in our lives is from God, is from the victory that he paid for, the victory that he's brought. And when we are obedient to give to him, not out of religion, but out of a relationship, because we say, "God, I put you back in the proper place. I'm responding to who you are and what you've done. And because of you, I'm blessed. Because of you, I have this victory, and I want to acknowledge the victory in my giving." Wow. It's not puberty. That happened a long time ago. It's a lot of shouting. When that happens, guys, it's so powerful. You realize over 200 people gave to conference this year. It wasn't one massive gift. It was over 200 people that collectively gave to conference. That's what happens when the kingdom comes together in obedience to God. Things happen. Things shift. Things change. And people are impacted. The church is not about your money so we can do these wild personal things. That's not it at all. It's so that we can see God, people impacted by God, so we can bring the kingdom forward. And when we collectively bring our obedience together, it's powerful. It's absolutely life-changing. Abram started it, and we get to go at it. We get to continue in it, not out of religion, but out of relationship and moving the kingdom of heaven forward, because that's what it's about. I was talking to the teenagers over the weekend, and I said, look around. Look around real quick. You guys can do it too. Just look around. We can look around and we can account for other people in the room hoping that they'll do something for the kingdom of heaven. But go ahead and put your hand up real quick. I want you to look at your hand. When we stop looking around and hoping other people do it and take accountability for what's in our hand and what our hands can do, that's when we're collectively strong. We're not collectively strong by looking around. We're collectively strong by taking individual responsibility of the kingdom of heaven. And then when we do it as a body, the devil better look out in our region, better look out in our generation, better look out what's going to come forward. In this house, we preach tithing because we believe it and we live it as a staff and as a body and as a house. And I'd like to encourage you to test God in these things, and he will be faithful because he's been faithful for everyone that has tested him in these things. I want to encourage you to prepare your offering. We have envelopes underneath the chairs. We have a text to give option. I'm not sure if it's going to end up on the screen. I think we stole some of the things for conference. So I will read the text to give number off for you because I love you. I love text to give. It's the easiest thing. 84321 maybe. It's 84321. Look at her go. 84321. If you just text dollar amount to that number, set it up as an easy registration, and we can start to move the kingdom of heaven forward in our obedience, not collectively, but individually. That all piles into something absolutely powerful. Thank you, guys. You can go ahead and stand to your feet. In this house, we do something a little bit different. We bring our offering to the front. And I'm going to have Pastor Rhonda actually do this portion because I can't shout whatsoever. So here's Pastor Rhonda to lead us in this.
So we're just going to declare the word of the Lord from Deuteronomy 28. And if you'll repeat it after me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Well, this morning we have an amazing treat to the body of Christ. Pastor Spencer actually drove up to our Ithaca campus because, again, we stole some of the things and it didn't get completely set back up. I'll take responsibility for it, and I'm sorry. So we couldn't live stream the service to Ithaca today. So Pastor Spencer drove up because he just loves people and loves preaching, and he's going to be preaching at our Ithaca campus right now. So A, he misses you, but B, we had already planned for my friend, my brother, Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. to preach this morning. So can you guys go ahead and put your hands together for him as he brings the word this morning to the house of God? Well, give Jesus a hand clap of praise this morning if you love him. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Are you excited this morning? I'm telling you, it's a good day. It is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. We had such a phenomenal weekend. It was supernatural. I told him the first service, I'm so happy. You're looking back. I was in the arena, first arena. I'm looking around. And I'm thinking to myself, look how far we've come. That's what I told him in the first service. I said, I'm just standing there. That came to me in my spirit. Look how far we come. I've been blessed to be able to be here since the beginning of the inception of Uproar. I don't know when they're going to cut me loose. My hair, I'm losing my hair. I'm too old to minister to teenagers, they tell me on the streets. On the streets, they say that. Anyway, but it's amazing. I remember that I was telling Pastor Cody, I said, you know, I remember the first time, it wasn't even called Uproar yet, although we were having an uproar. We were out in the woods in a cabin, like with a youth retreat. Bats were flying in while I was preaching. A dude killed a bat with a broom in my message. It was you? You're brave. Girls were like screaming. I thought I was getting it in the Holy Ghost. I was like, that's right, girl, I tell you, the Holy Ghost is here right now. It was a bat. And we're out in the middle of nowhere. And then the next year, 2011, the very first uproar right here in this sanctuary. And to see where we started and to where God's got it now, it's supernatural. You literally go from humble beginnings to a conference now that's tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars to bless and bring people into the kingdom of God. Every bill paid, by the way. Hallelujah. Because God's a provider. Can you say amen? And here's what's exciting. This is still just the beginning. We're still in the infancy stages. I love the vision that God gave my brother Cody is going to go all over this nation. It's not going to stay here. We're going to go from here and touch people all over this nation with the power of God. You know, it's unlimited what God can do when people have faith. Faith gives you unlimited power and unlimited access. Can you say amen? Very, very exciting. So I'm pumped up today. I got a word for you. It's going to blow your hair back. If you don't have hair, it's going to grow some hair on you. It's going to be a wonderful thing. But I'm telling you, I'm pumped up in my spirit to see people change. This was, without a doubt, the most anointed uproar we've ever had. Every single night. I'm not kidding you. I'm not just saying that because we're here. I'm telling you. And it wasn't just like the ministry or the preacher or the preachers, whatever. I'm talking about the people grabbed it. The students grabbed it. It was like straight up revival. That's why last night we were chanting. Who was there last night? We were chanting the Holy Ghost. This ain't a conference. This is a movement. Because let me tell you something. It wasn't some little, you know, cut and dry, 3 points in a poem, send you home. This was like Holy Ghost revival in First Arena, and I'm telling you, it's only going to continue to increase from there because God's moving on a hungry and a new generation that's going to do phenomenal things for the kingdom. These are the ones that will turn the world upside down. Can you say amen? Everybody that ministered did such a phenomenal job. And I got the pleasure and the privilege of meeting Pastor Chris Estrada. I was really excited when I started because I thought it was going to be Eric Estrada from Chips. It was not. It was Chris. And I met him, and it was wonderful. What a great job he did. My brother Sean Thomas, phenomenal job. My brother Cody preached the house down. Josh Carter came and just completely destroyed it with the Holy Ghost. It was phenomenal. And so I'm excited to just be around Holy Ghost people that are not compromising the move of the Spirit in this generation. In case you don't know, there's a whole lot of people compromising it. A lot of people trying to step away from it. We're stepping into it. Hallelujah. Because that's the only thing that's going to change a generation. mighty power of the Holy Ghost. And in fact, while I say that, let me just say I'm so happy to have here with us Pastor Sean and Aaron Thomas from Abundant Life Church in Margate, Florida, my home church, my wife's home church. And God answered my prayer because they were flying out early this morning to go back home. And I said, Father, let the angels cancel the flight. Let them move it off into the future. God, I pray you send an anointing and destroy the maintenance team. No, I didn't do that. But it's so good to have them here. And I'd like them to come for just a minute and greet you, if you will. Would you welcome Pastor Sean and Aaron Thomas from Abundant Life Church?
Good morning. We are so happy to be here this morning. We were so sad to have to say goodbye to everybody last night, and we legit said goodbye to everybody last night. And then we woke up this morning, and we're like, well, we can go to brunch or we can go to church. So here we are. Let me tell you, we love being here with you guys. It's always such a blessing. The team that you guys have here on staff and the volunteers, I am so amazed at the hours that the people have put in. The people that were here to serve us were just fabulous. And what you're doing, Pastor Cody, with the youth is just amazing. I mean, it's just amazing to see so many young people that are just hungry and going after, and they're not caring about what their friends think. They're not caring about what the other people's influence is in their lives. They want the Holy Spirit, and they want God to move in their life. So y'all need to keep it up. This is awesome here. We appreciate y'all.
Well, it's definitely exciting to be able to be back together one more time, at least for us, one more time. Real quick, how many people were a part of the conference this weekend? You attended, you volunteered, you just happened to show up, someone drug you there, you were excited to be there no matter what the case may be. Wow, hands all over the place. I am just so excited to see what the turnout was this entire weekend, because when we were there the entire time, so here's how I put it like this. When we were at the conference, because we were guest speakers and I appreciate it, but they gave us like these seats up top. And so the whole time I had like a bird's eye view, and to a point I felt like Zacchaeus hiding up into a tree. And for a couple of reasons. One, I'm little. Zacchaeus was little. It's just the cards that God dealt me. I can't help it. So that's why I wear these boots to boost me up. One day I pray to have a beard like Pastor Cody and to have that nice tall stature that he carries. When he holds that mic, I told him earlier, I was like, you're the beast of the Northeast. It's wild. One day. But we're there, and at one point, I just literally was like, the word was going forth, Jesus was in the house, and I was like, I got to come down this tree right now. I got to get in the midst. And last night's worship, when we got to that point right before we transitioned to a powerful time of the word, which let me tell you, last night, obviously if you were there, you knew what went down. If you weren't, Ted brought the fire like I've never seen before. You know it's a move of God when the prayer line doesn't just start in the front of the stage, but it goes behind the stage. When you got that many people hungry for more, something's up. And so we got down there in the worship the whole time. What was amazing. And I was so excited to see. And I just want to encourage this. What God is starting here, it's not going to stay here. As Ted's mentioned, as we know the vision, God's going to make this thing global. I believe it's got to go beyond just national borders. This needs to be a worldwide movement. But I say all of that to bring it back to why we're here today. In the same way that I felt like I was up in the tree like Zacchaeus, and Jesus came and he had a word and he said it's time to come down, I believe that there's those of us that's in this place today that we've just been in a place far away too long, but there's a word that's coming forth in this house today that's going to cause you to get out of your comfort zone, time to get on the water and experience the miracle and the power of God. So get ready, because this word is primed and it is going to hit this house hard like it did last night. So I celebrate the ministry gift. I celebrate the pastors, Pastor Cody, Pastor Mindy. Thank you guys. We love you guys. We're so glad that we could be a part.
I love you, man. Praise the Lord. I want to say a personal thank you to Miss Tammy O'Dell and her whole team that did the food and catering every night for the... Let me tell you something.
as a person who loves to eat, let me tell you something. She didn't bring no pigs in a blanket. She didn't bring no sloppy joes. We come out of conference and come upstairs to homemade chicken parm. Homemade. I mean Holy Ghost chicken parm. Carried an anointing on it. I mean, just every night something good and wonderful, and it was such a blessing. And so I pray that the mighty blessing of God come back on them 100-fold for everything they sowed, and all the volunteers that helped with the conference made it a success. Can we give them one more round of applause today and tell them thank you? Praise God. At this time, we have a solo that's going to be sung by Sister Kayla Keegan. If you could give her a hand as she comes. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I just want to see your face when we said that. Oh, hallelujah. Now, they told you Pastor Mike had to go preach. In all reality, he got offended at what I preached in the first service and left. No, I'm kidding. We, I'm out of here. That's just, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me quickly to John chapter 1. As you're doing that, let me make it just a quick mention. We have some books and things we brought with us. They're in the vestibule, the foyer, the lobby, the info spot. If you want to just pick them up on the way out. We wrote this book a couple of years ago. God dealt with me in the time of fasting and prayer about how to live in the protective power of covenant for you and your family, that you don't have to battle sickness, disease, accident, tragedy. It does not have to be your story. By faith, you can have the protection and power of God surrounding your house and your children. This book, Blood on the Door, The Protective Power of Covenant, will show you how, from the Word of God, to live in that kind of protection. Can you shout amen? Who would like this copy right here? Who would? Oh, man, your hand went up so fast. God bless you. It's coming. Pray. Oh, no. Missed the cut for the Dodgers. And then, of course, our first book we ever released, I had somebody from this church tell me that was one of the students from Uproar, told me that's the first book I've ever sat down and read all the way through with no issues. And it was a young teenager. And, you know, it's almost 250 pages. I sat down and just blew through it. The power of God touched me. And that encouraged my spirit. We have Praise, Laugh, Repeat. And this is the 40-day devotional that goes along with that, that will be an encouragement to your faith. Who would like that this morning? Oh, man, I saw your hand so fast. I know you were ready on that one. Randall, would you please give that? I'm not going to throw a book at a lady, not in church. Hallelujah. Some of you know that I attempt to sing from time to time. And let me just say, here's a quick testimonial. This is our EP, Greatly to be Praised. Let me read you a testimony about what someone said that heard the music. They said, Ted is, without a doubt, the songbird of our generation. And that was from Barry Manilow. He said that. And you can grab that CD. Who wants that? Oh, my goodness, right here in the pink, beautiful, beautiful pink sweater. Would you give it to her? She had her hand up first. And then listen, let me say this. We launched for the first time last year Worship Summit, our worship conference in South Florida at Abundant Life Church. And, man, we had a blast. It was phenomenal. And it's not just for singers, not just for musicians or worshipers. It's for anybody that wants to go deeper in the subject of worship. You want to learn more about praise and worship. We're doing it again this year. We've got the dates coming. We don't have them locked in yet, but we'll send you materials. But it's going to be in the winter in South Florida, Hollywood. Hallelujah. And it's a wonderful thing. And then here's what we're going to do. I'm very excited. Some of you that were at conference, you heard Miss Jenya Jackson singing on, I mean, the greatest praise. In my opinion, she's my favorite in the whole world. She's powerful. She's going to be teaching at the conference. She did last year. Phenomenal. But on the Friday night of conference, we're going to be recording a live album in concert there, a praise and worship album. So it's going to be phenomenal. You're not going to want to miss it. Here's what's great. It's a free conference. We don't charge you a dime. You just get down there, come be in the presence of God. You will be blessed. But at the conference, we launched this book this year called Unhang Your Harp, How Praise Opens the Door. Hands are already going up. My God, I see that hand. I see that hand. Those of you that know you need to be right with Jesus, I see that hand. we launched this book, Unhang Your Harp, How Praise Opens the Door to Every Blessing God's set aside for you. And God dealt with me about this. And I remember hearing Brother Kenneth Hagin say that he asked the Lord, Lord, why are so many Christians struggling in America and around the world? And God showed him a vision of an old school set of scales. Remember the old scales? Like the scales of justice? He said when he saw the vision, he saw the scales, and one side was weighted down to the ground. And in that scale, on that side, it said prayer. And on the other side, one was way up in the air, and when he looked inside, it said praise. And God said, when your praise equals your prayer, the breakthrough will come. When your praise equals your prayer. Bishop David Oyedepo, who pastors the largest church in the world in Ota, Nigeria, he said, prayer is wonderful, but prayer cannot match the potency of praise. Hallelujah. God inhabits the praises of his people. One person said, it is the cheapest access into the presence of God. That when we praise him, we are immediately in his presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy. That means anything you need from God, praise opens the door. Because listen, anything that's good is in his presence. So once his presence shows up, what comes with his presence is also there. Healing is in his presence. Joy is in his presence. Prosperity is in his presence. And when we praise him, it transports us instantly into the presence of God. In the first service, we sold out of these books completely. And many people are on the sign-up list. If you'd like to get a copy of that, literally just fill out the card. There are people are prepaying. We're going to ship it to you without any charge to you. We're going to be a blessing to you. But I'm telling you, it will change your life. However, we do have one copy left. I saw that hand right there. Right? Yeah, I see that hand. Amen. Randy, you want to help me? Or you can come. That's fine. I just don't want to smack anybody. We've had lawsuits. God bless you. Who's in John chapter 1? Shout amen. Now, let me say, I was praying last year in Atlanta, Georgia. I was in a parking lot in my truck complaining to God in prayer. And I was complaining because I was so angry and irritated at this subject that we have so many young people that come to conferences like Uproar or revivals that I preach around the country, and they get on fire for God and things are stirring in their spirit and they want to go deeper in the things of God, and they end up going to a university or a Bible college that's got some liberal mindset that talks them right out of the Holy Ghost. They come out, they don't even believe certain books should be in the Bible. They come out and don't even believe the Holy Ghost is still in operation today. And I said, God, that's not right. We need a new generation rising up with the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm laying all this out for God like he doesn't know. And I'm praying. And then I'm waiting for some prophetic response from heaven. All I heard God say was, why don't you do something about it? And so when he said that, faith leapt into my spirit. And we launched, less than a month and a half later, we launched Miracle Word University, an online training course. And do you know, within that month and a half, we had 300 students sign up from 11 nations of the world in just that short period of time. And it continues to grow. And we're putting out courses. The first one we did was the Holy Ghost. Amen. Holy Ghost, baptism in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, what it means, what it does. We released divine healing. We released answered prayer. We've got one coming out in a few weeks on faith. We've got one coming out on bibliology, eschatology. We're going to teach the doctrines of the church from a Pentecostal and charismatic perspective and let a new generation know why we believe what we believe. The Bible said in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not because the devil's attacking, because they don't have enough knowledge. In the New Testament, the Bible says in John 8:32, you'll know the truth. And the truth you know will do what? Set you free. And so we've made it extremely easy to get involved. You can do it on your phone, tablet, laptop, from your couch, in your favorite sweatpants with Cheetos on your face. You don't even have to put makeup on, ladies. Men, you shouldn't be wearing makeup anyway. And there is, you have to say that in this generation because people don't even know which bathroom to use. Anyway, hallelujah. Just go back and look at pictures of men from like the 1940s when they were going to World War II and men today on the streets. It's a very, very different picture. Anyway, I'll get off of that, get back into this. So there's a word you can get on your phone. No start date, no end date. And each course is only $69. An average of 5 hours of teaching per course. Be a huge blessing to you. If you'd like to check out and find out more about it, miraclewordu.com. Miracleword, the letter U.com. You can check out the course listing. You can see all the videos in each course. It'll be a huge blessing to you. We've even made it super affordable. If you want to do it over 2 months, $35 a month for 2 months, you can do it. It's yours for the rest of your life. And here's what's nice. People can get involved and interact with one another, ask questions. We answer answer questions regarding the subjects. And it'll build your faith and equip you to do what God's called you to do. Can you say amen? John chapter 1, are you there? John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the power of your word. We ask you to touch every one of us today by an impartation of your spirit and your mighty word. Don't let us leave the same way we came in, but let us leave changed in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, somebody shout amen. Amen. What a blessing it is to have my beautiful and wonderful wife with me on the front row today. She's anointed and she's wonderful. She's helped me raise three beautiful children. When I say she's helped me raise them, I mean she's raised them. Amen. I love having an anointed wife. I tell everybody she gets her prayers answered faster than I do. She's got more faith than I do. She's wonderful. God truly blessed me when he gave me my wife, and I'm so happy to have her. Would you give her a hand and welcome her to the service today? Amen. Wonderful. John chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. That's the New Living Translation. Another translation says, in the beginning was the Word. So get this with me today. There was nothing that existed before the Word. The Word existed from the dateless past. God is eternal. No one created him. The Word is eternal. Nobody created it. It did, you know, understand this. God did not create the Word. The Word, the Bible says, existed at the beginning with God. It was there with him. Later, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Oh, hallelujah. So the Word of God existed from the very beginning of eternity. Nobody created the Word. It's always been there. Let me encourage you with this. The Word existed before your problems existed. Let me get this to your spirit. The Word existed before your problems existed. Everybody thinks that they need to pray so that they can let God know about their problems so he can formulate a fresh word to send to their issue. Let me tell you something. The Word was there before the devil even became the devil. When he was still a little angel in heaven, you know, trying on clothes in the H&M dressing room, he was already there. The Word preceded him. Somebody shout amen. The Word was first. The Word was first. The Word pre-existed anything you see. God doesn't need to create a new word to get you out of the attack that the enemy's sending your way. The Word to set you free was there before your problem was ever there. Oh my God. Get this with me today. If you ever try to go get insurance, life insurance, health insurance, whatever, you know what they ask you to, they always ask you about? If you have pre-existing conditions. I told them the first service, what that really means is, they said, we don't really want to help you if you're already sick. Pre-existing conditions. Pre-existing conditions. I want you to say this with me by faith today. I have a pre-existing condition. It's called the Word. I have a pre-existing condition called the Word. It existed before I existed. It existed before you existed. The Word of God was already there and working before we were ever created. Think about this. God, when he wants to get something done, he doesn't even have to get off his throne. He can just send the Word. Psalm 107 verse 20, that's my theme scripture for our ministry. He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Notice God didn't have to move. He can just send a word. And when the word comes out of his mouth, Isaiah 55 and verse 11, the Bible says, when he sends his word forth, it never returns to him empty or void, but it always accomplishes what he sends it to do. One translation says, and it prospers in the thing whereunto he has sent it. So let me encourage you with this thought today. The word prospers in every situation. There's no situation in the earth where the word cannot prosper and accomplish what God sent it to do. I had somebody come to me one time and said, oh, you preach that prosperity message. Yeah, that's what we call an Americanized gospel because people in other countries don't have the benefit of living in that prosperity message. I said, that's because you think the power of God's based on geography. But the power of God's not based on geography. He can bless you in New York or New Delhi, India. It doesn't matter where you live. The word of God carries the power to prosper wherever it is. Can I tell you something? The word of God pre-existed poverty. Before poverty was, the word was. Before sickness was, the word was. Before depression was, the word was. God doesn't need to create a new word. It was there from the beginning. See, people think their prayers activate God's power to create a new freeing word for their life. No, it doesn't. Our prayers are just the catalyst that allow him to release his pre-existing word into our lives. He said, I know the plans I have for you. That means before you were born, he had a word over you. He was speaking over you. That word existed before you came out of your mother's womb. He knew you. You were in him. Before you were ever in your mother's womb, you were in God's womb. When Jesus comes back in a few short years, whenever he may come, when he comes back, he's not going to take us somewhere we've never been before. He's taking us back to where we started. I came to preach this morning, but he's taken us back to where our origin was. We started in him. We started in the word. Before we were in our mother, we were in God. And the word pre-exists every condition. The word pre-exists every condition. Even through the scripture, when you go to look how God, Jesus operated, power of God, Jesus was the word manifest. You go to John chapter 6, you know what you'll find? It was time to feed 5,000 people, but they had no food. And I love it because Jesus, he saw all of his children following him. Think about this. This is the nature of God, by the way. The first question he asked when he saw all those thousands of people coming to follow after him out into the wilderness, you know what his first question to his disciple was? Where can we get bread to feed them? God's first thought over you is, how can I provide for my children? God's first thought over you, how can I bless my children? How can I bless my children? You know, when I go to bless my kids and I love to bless them, I love to bless them. When I think of my daughter Madeline, who's 8, when I think of my daughter Brooklyn, who's 4, going to be 5, I look at my son Teddy, who's 2, Teddy the 3rd. I look at those kids. The first thing I do is not sit down with a notebook and a pen and tally up all the good things they've done versus the bad things they've done. And say, no, I'm just going to see if the good outweighs the bad. And if it does, I'm going to release a blessing on my kids. That's not what I do. I look at them and understand they're still growing. They're still learning. They're still making mistakes. But my love for them pre-exists their actions. Oh, my goodness. Which means that when I look at those kids, I just see them and say, I feel like blessing them today because they are me. They belong to me. They came out of me. And because they came out of me, I got a blessing for them. If I was a deadbeat and had to go on Maury Povich because I said, they ain't my kids. I was out of town at the time. And a doctor had to go take a blood test and you are the father. If I was that much of a deadbeat, had to do all that. All it takes is one blood test. And you can clearly see he came out of me. All it takes is one blood test to see what blood is pumping through your veins. See, because the moment you got saved, that old blood is gone and you got a blood transfusion from the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus is flowing through your body, marking you as his child. And when he marks you, he is now responsible to provide for you. Oh my God. Oh, let me tell you something. God is not an unfit father. God's not a child abuser. No. He's a good heavenly father who knows how to give good gifts to those who ask him. Oh my goodness. he tried to parallel this to sinners and to earthly and carnal fathers and mothers in Matthew 7. He said, Jesus said, let me show you something. Even you earthly fathers, if your child asks you for a loaf of bread, you don't give them a stone. And if they ask you for fish, you don't give them a serpent. Dad, what's for dinner tonight? Stones and serpents. No, he said, even you earthly fathers. You know, Christmas is coming back around. It won't be long. Another 6 months, we got Christmas already again. Do you know Christmas is not just a holiday that people who go to church and call Jesus their Lord celebrate? There's people that don't go to church, that don't celebrate, and don't call Jesus their Lord. They celebrate Christmas. They buy presents for their kids. They bless their kids on Christmas Day. Let me tell you something. If someone who doesn't even serve God knows how to bless their kids like that, Jesus said, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to bless those that belong to him? Oh, yeah. And God said, because you came out of me, it means essentially you are me. Passage in the Bible said, God cannot deny himself. God cannot deny himself. I'm talking about you. God cannot deny himself. No one has to guess. This is a little deeper than I went in the first service, but I can tell you're an astute crowd. No one ever has to debate when two lions have sexual relations and that mama lion gets pregnant. No one has to stand around, you know, rubbing their hand. I'm excited to see what animal comes out of that lion. It's going to be a lion, baby. Two cats get together, it's always cats. Two dogs get together, it's always dogs. Your parents can't be giraffes and you a monkey. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, God can't be a lion and me be a monkey. When I came out of him, I am what he is. I have what he has. I walk like he walks. I talk like he talks. And if he's in me, and if I'm in him, then he cannot deny himself. The word ain't for everybody. It's for those that belong to God. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Bible says, Paul spoke it this way. He said, those that don't have Christ can't even obtain or know or understand the things of God, for their eyes are darkened. They think it's foolishness. They cannot comprehend it. You know why? Because the word is reserved for God's people. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The Bible says this, no eye has seen, 1 Corinthians 2:9. No ear has heard, no heart has imagined the things that God has prepared and set aside for who? Them that love him. Get this today. Because we love him, we get access to the things he's provided. Because we love him, we get to tap in to our heavenly account. Oh, man, I'm getting ready to hit you with something. It blows people's theology out of the water. We think it's our prayer that really gets God to create things for our lives. Well, if we just pray more, God would be able to create more. If we just pray more, God could form something for us. It's already formed. Let me read you Ephesians 1:3 out of my spirit. Now you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. How many were you blessed with? Every. How many? Every. That means there ain't no more. Ain't no more. I said there ain't no more. When I go home to West Virginia, there's a place called Country Club Bakery. And the thing that's wonderful about this bakery is that they invented something we only have in West Virginia. It's a wonderful little treat that was made for the coal miners to take under the earth to eat for lunch because there were a lot of Italians in West Virginia. And they used to send their husbands down into the mines with a stick of pepperoni and a stick of Italian bread, a big loaf of Italian bread in a pail. And they'd carry it down and eat pepperoni and bread for lunch. But they got smart and the lady said, let's start cooking the pepperoni into the bread, and they created something called pepperoni rolls. I don't hear anybody in this church, but I came to preach. Sometimes they might melt mozzarella inside it and throw peppers and sauce on the top of it. It's a pepperoni roll. And this country club bakery is credited with inventing for the public the pepperoni roll. Well, when you go down, you can order a dozen. They're fresh made every day. The bread is soft and chewy. The mozzarella is delicious. I haven't eaten carbs in like 3 weeks. I'm so hungry. I mean, it's so wonderful. You sit there, you eat it, and before you get home, you start popping them like they're Tic Tacs. I mean, you haven't eaten. I mean, it's wonderful. And I get home, and my wife's like, why did you buy 4 bags? I said, I bought 5. I ate one bag on the way home. I said, why is it so? And see, we get home, and people are like, oh, hey, Ted, I heard you bought some pepperoni rolls for the house. I did, babe, but they're gone. I ate the whole thing. Why? I ate every last one of them. I ate every one of them. And that means if I've consumed all, then there's no more left. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And if you got every one of them, then there's no more left to get. We don't ever have to stand at an altar and say, oh God, I want more of you, more of you, more. He gave you all there is. It's already in your spirit. Your body is filled and flooded with God himself. Every blessing, it's already yours. Then Paul sent a text to the Corinthians and said, let me hook you guys up with this knowledge. You're the most immature church in the whole body. But let me encourage you with this thought. You have every spiritual gift you need as you wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:7. He said, you don't lack or come behind in any spiritual gift. How many did they have? All of them. How many? All of them. So we think God's got to create something new through our prayer to supplement our lifestyle. God don't need to create anything new. He already created it all. In fact, it existed from the beginning with him. Oh my goodness. It's the mighty word. It started in the beginning with God. It was with God and it was God. So let me show you this. The reason it's so powerful is because when God sends his word, he sends himself. It ain't like parents. You know how parents do. You better straighten up or I'm coming over there. You want me to come upstairs? I'll come upstairs and wear that behind out. I told him first, I hope there's nobody from CPS in the church service today. And what I mean is put them in timeout. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't know what timeout was growing up. I said, timeout? What is that? I was praying for timeouts. I was like, oh, Jesus, send a timeout. Hallelujah. You know what timeouts has produced, don't you? Kids at the mall on leashes with their parents. Anyway, I'm not preaching on that, but we could go there. It's rough when your kid becomes your pet. Anyway, we could get into authority for a minute if we're going to stick to the subject because I see people getting offended. No, I'm kidding. The word of God existed from the beginning. And when God sends his word, he sends himself. He sends what? Himself. Jesus showed up to the centurion's servant, Matthew chapter 8. He said, my servant's at home. The Roman soldier said, my servant's at home sick with palsy. Jesus had so much compassion. He said, I'll come heal him. He said, no, you don't got to come. I know what kind of man you are. Speak the word only. See, Jesus was just trying to help him where he thought his faith was. Because at the end, he said, man, let me tell you something. I ain't found faith like this in all of Israel. You're not even one of my children, and you believe in me more than my own kids do. And he said, and Jesus spoke the word, but get this, when he spoke the word, he sent himself. He sent himself. To the moment that he spoke, the Bible says, and the servant was healed from that same hour. You know what that means? This is going to blow some of y'all up. I got this coming out in a book. Who knows when it's coming out? When God sends his word, he sends what? Himself. That means from the moment he spoke, if you study it in the original, so the moment he spoke is the moment the servant started recovering. He didn't send his word and then have to wait as the word traveled all those miles and then finally got there. It was a road trip and then the car opened up and the word had to walk in tired and touch it. He spoke the word and instantly the word was where the servant was and began to make him whole. Now, let me show you something that will stir your faith. the fact that we have been given the word and the ability to speak the word like Christ, that means as much as God is omnipresent, it's given us the power to be omnipresent. Because I can speak a word in Horseheads, New York, and touch somebody in Beijing right now. I don't have to get a plane ticket and fly there and spend hours on the flight eating peanuts and getting sick. I can stand right here by the power of the Holy Ghost and send a word to somebody halfway across the world. And from this moment, the power of God will touch them where they are and change their life. Why? Because the word gives you power to be omnipresent. Thanks for all the shouts. I was preaching a service in Pennsylvania, and power of God was in the revival. We were sitting there preaching, and a girl wrote in, and she was a teenager. She said, I really wanted to come to the revival, but my mom wouldn't let me come. She said, because you guys are Pentecostal. My mom's Baptist. She said, she didn't want me coming down to that tongue-talking church, so she made me stay home. First thought I had was, it's a crazy day we live in when parents don't care if their kids go to parties and get drunk and have sex and hook up with people, as long as you're not going to a Pentecostal church. My God, who in the world are we raising in this generation? I don't mind if you guys go out and have a little fun and go on prom night and have some sex and learn what the world's really like. Hey, you guys can drink as long as you keep it in the house. We got parents telling people that. Keep it. I'm one of them cool moms. You're one of them need to get saved moms. But don't go to that Pentecostal church. There's demons down there. So she said, I couldn't come. She said, but I needed healing in my body. I was born, I had an issue in my body. And she said, so I didn't want to be disrespectful to my mom. I don't want to be rebellious to my mom. She said, but what I did, she said, I ran up in my room and locked the door and pulled my phone out and watched the live stream. She said, I was watching the live stream from my house. She said, but at the end of the service, when you prayed the prayer of faith and sent the word, I feel the Holy Ghost. She said, I felt the anointing come through my phone. It got into my body. And the thing that was dealing with, I was dealing with sickness, disease, it jumped out of my body and healing came into me. I got healed. I wasn't even in the service. I wasn't even in church. But the word can send power wherever you are. Somebody shout amen. So let me close with this. Jesus is getting ready to feed 5,000. That's where I was before we somehow deviated. You guys changed the subject. Jesus sees these people and he says, where can we get bread to feed them? I love this. Philip, one of his mighty disciples, hallelujah, he said, oh God. He got religious. You know that religious voice? He's like, hallelujah, oh God. He said, if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them all. Wonderful response to Christ, Philip. Lord, let me tell you how it's not going to work. But I love the verse. This is what it says. And Jesus asked him because he was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. God knows. Do you think Jesus was stumped in that moment? I just don't know. We got a lot of people here. We need to feed these people. Where are we going to get it? You think Jesus literally was stumped? You think he was racking his brain, praying in speed tongues like some Christians do when they get in a crisis? People think they need speed tongues when they get into a crisis situation. No matter how fast you pray, Porky Pig, it ain't going to change different. Oh, God, what was he diagnosed with? Oh, you're praying out of fear. That ain't faith. Jesus didn't have to sit around and do that. No. He already knew what he was going to do. Let me tell you why he already knew. The word existed thousands of years before those people ever needed fed. He was testing him. He already had a plan. The word took what was available and brought multiplication into it. Let me show you something. the word, when you submit what's in your hand to the word is a filter that produces multiplication. So I'm just not at that place. Take where you are and submit it to the word. And when you do, multiplication takes place. Happened all through the Bible. Woman only had a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal left in the Old Testament. The prophet showed up. What do you got to eat? I ain't got nothing except this little bit. Me and my son are going to eat it, and then we're going to commit suicide. It's a wonderful plan. He said, make me a little bit first. What? What's she doing? Taking what she has, submitting it to the word. My oil's running out. Oh, let me tell you something. Go get you some vessels, not a few. Get all the vessels you can get. Get your sons to go get them. Woman was in debt. I don't know about you. I am thankful MasterCard doesn't come to take your children and put them in slavery when you go in debt like they did back then. She said, the creditors are coming to take my sons into slavery to pay off my debt, and I ain't got nothing but this little bit of oil. He said, go get some vessels. That was the word. Came to her. And the sons went and got all the vessels they could find, and they started pouring. And when what she had, the little she had, was submitted to the word of God, as they poured, that thing kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring till every vessel was filled and there were no more. You know what that shows you? God's into increase and overflow, but he's not into waste. I'll show you this. If her sons could have found more vessels, those would have been filled too. Your ability to be blessed is dependent upon your preparation to receive. Your ability to be blessed is based on your preparation to receive. What does that mean? Some people aren't ready to receive anything from God. God can't pour into vessels you don't have. Oh, God, bless me. Oh, God, bless me. You don't even have a savings account. You got a checking. You don't have a savings. You don't even have a money market. It takes 5 minutes to go to the bank and open one. Oh, God, give me overflow. You ain't got nowhere to put it. Where are you going to put it? Amen. Oh, God, give me a sectional couch. You got a living room that's 32 square feet. Don't ask God to give you stuff you don't have anywhere to put. That's like a prison cell. I don't know who has that. You're an inmate. We've got to prepare to be blessed by God. Yes. Our preparation starts with our expectancy to receive the word. I receive the word with gladness, with excitement. I'm ready to get what God said is mine. And see, that word existed before anything else existed. Let me show you something. The word is Christ. So when he stepped in front of Lazarus' tomb, I'll close with this and we're going to pray for you. When he stepped in front of Lazarus' tomb, we only have three examples in the entire Bible of Jesus raising his voice. Only three. The first is found in John 11 at Lazarus' tomb. He shows up and he stands in front and with a loud voice, he cries out, Lazarus, come forth. And when he shouts, a dead man has to get up. Because that word that came out of his mouth pre-existed Lazarus' conditions. Get this with me. Jesus, that's why Jesus had no problem staying where he was for 4 days after he heard Lazarus was in a problem. Your friend Lazarus, sick unto death. Good, I'm staying where I am. Well, aren't you going to go see him? No. Why? Because those religious people think that if they do their thing, that they can actually raise him back from the dead by religious rituals and rites. So let them do what they think they can do, because when I work, when I release the word, I want all the glory for what I do. All the glory. All the glory. My doctor doesn't get half the glory for when God heals me. Thanks for the shouts. My prescription don't get half the glory for when God heals me. If you think God needs supplemental aids to come in and help his power out, we don't know the word. God doesn't need some man-made thing to supplement his supernatural power. He's God all by himself. Stood in front of the tomb, said, Lazarus, come out. Boom, he came right out. Why? The word that came out of his mouth carried the power to resurrect. Number two, he was on the cross, stretched out. Bible says that he said, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit, and cried out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. When he shouted, that word came out of his mouth. And the Bible says the earth shook and tombs all around that Calvary opened up, and holy men and women came walking out of their tombs. Not on his resurrection, on his death. Because he shouted, and the word came out of his mouth and resurrected those that were dead. The third time that he shouts hasn't even happened yet. But the Bible says a day is coming that God will give a nod to an angel holding a trumpet, and he will blow the blast on that trumpet, and Jesus will descend from heaven with a commanding shout, and the dead in Christ will get up out of their graves, and those of us that are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. See, that's the problem, is that many people think the resurrection is a day on the calendar, and it's not. Because Jesus had to talk to Lazarus' sister, and he said, hey, don't you believe your brother will rise again? Because she had just said, if you'd have been here sooner, he wouldn't have died. She was in the past. He said, don't you believe she'll rise again? Oh, yes, in the future, hallelujah, in the resurrection. He said, you're going too far, girl, come back. Because faith don't work in the past, and it don't work in the future. It works right now. And see, he said to her, you have it confused because you think the resurrection's a day, but you're looking at the resurrection. The resurrection's a man, not a day. The reason everybody's going to get up out of the ground, the reason we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air is not because some day happened on the calendar. It's because the resurrection's coming back to this earth. And when the resurrection comes back, that's the word. That's the pre-existent word coming back to the earth. And when he comes back, dead people are getting ready to get out of their grave. I want you to stand on your feet all over this church and lift your hands to heaven, because you need to hear me. There's a word for you today that pre-existed your problems. There's a word for you today that pre-existed the attack of the devil against your life. It was there before you or your children were ever born. God created a help for you before there was ever a problem for you. Oh, hallelujah. He created a help for you before there was a problem for you. He's mighty. There's two prayers I'm going to pray this morning. With every head bowed, the first prayer is this. That day I just spoke about is coming very soon. Jesus is coming back to this earth to take his children home. There's people in this church today. You know that if Christ came back today, you'd not be ready to see him when he comes. There are things in your life that are sinful. They're not right. They're holding you back from serving God. There are things that are displeasing to God. Today, the word is available to transform you from death unto life. You don't have to leave this church the same way you came in. You can leave knowing that heaven is your home, that Jesus is your Lord, and that your eternity is secure by the power of God. If you're here today and you say, preacher, that is me. I know there's things in my life that are not right, but I want to make a change this morning. I want to know that I'm ready to see Jesus when he comes, and that Jesus, he's not only my Savior, but he's my Lord, that heaven is my home. I want to pray with you today. If that's you and you want to pray this prayer with me right where you're standing, lift your hand and hold it high, and I'm going to pray for you. All over this church, if you want to pray that prayer, lift it and hold it high. Don't be ashamed. As they begin to worship, those of you that lifted your hands, quickly get out of your seat and come stand at this altar with me. Come on, come on, come on. Don't wait for another minute. Come on. Don't wait for another service. Come stand right here at the front. Come on, come on, come on. Get out of your seat and come. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Don't wait for another service. Don't wait for another time. Today's the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. I'm going to give you one more moment. If you raise that hand, don't worry about what somebody might think about you. Who cares? The word has been made available for you. You know you need to be at this altar. They're going to play it one more time. I want you to slip out of your seat and come as quickly as you can. God's making all things new today. You don't have to remain in the mess that you're in. You don't have to remain in the problems you're in. Not the drama the devil sent your way. Today's the day to make a change. As they play it one more time, if you need to be here, come quickly now. Come on. Come on. God, you.
Come on, lift those hands all over this church. Yes, Jesus.
Yours is the name.
We're going to pray. We're going to pray. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Those of you that are at God's altar, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. The Bible says when you pray this prayer, when you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Today, whether it's your first time praying this or you're rededicating your life to the Lord, make a decision. I'm never going back again. Never going back again. Pray this prayer with me and say it with a bold and a loud voice. Let the Lord know you mean business today. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for sending your son to die for me. I ask you now, forgive me of my sin. Make me new. Give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life until I die or until you come. Thank you, Lord. I'm free today. I'm never going back to an old way of living. Say this. Say, devil, take your hands off my life. You're trespassing on God's property. I belong to Jesus, and I'm never coming back. Lift both hands and thank the Lord. It's done this morning. Somebody rejoice. Father, thank you, Lord. I pray you fill every one of them with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Fill them to overflowing. Use them in a mighty way. I thank you there's a hedge of protection around their life. No evil thing will come near their house, their family. Use them for your glory. Make them mighty soul winners. I thank you, Lord. Nothing, no weapon formed against them can be allowed to prosper. In Jesus' mighty name, give them holy desires to pray, to read your word, to be faithful to church. Sister, lift your hand. The Lord has a word for you today. Every attack against your mind, the enemy's tried to use things against you to try to tear you out of what God's called you to be and do. From this day forward, every lie of depression, every lie of anxiety, worry, panic is leaving you forever in Jesus' name. The peace of God overtakes your mind today. The joy of the Lord fills your heart today, and you'll never be the same again. Every attack against your life is broken in the mighty name of Jesus. And I loose the blessing of God to you now in the name that's above every name. Lift your hands all over this church. Lift your hands all over this place. Hallelujah. Those of you that are here at the altar, I want you to look at me real quick. It's so important that we can stay connected with you. Maybe you're rededicating your life. We understand that. But for those of you, if it is your first time ever praying this prayer, to your left, we have some wonderful people standing right over here. Wave your hands. These are not human traffickers. These are good people. I can vouch for them. If it's your first time praying this prayer, I want you to take a step over there. They're going to give you some literature. They're going to pray with you. They're going to give you some things and help you take next steps in the kingdom of God. God bless you, buddy. God bless you. Thank you. Give them a hand. Welcome them to the family of God. God bless you. If you can, just take a step over there. Right this way. God bless you. Those of you that are in this church, I want you to lift your hands to heaven all over this auditorium this morning. All over this. I'm going to pray a prayer of deliverance over you. The word is coming to you now. If you're battling sickness in your body, get ready to be healed. If you're battling depression, anxiety, get ready to be free. If you've been having issues, your children aren't serving the Lord, get ready for them to come home and into the kingdom. If you're believing for a husband or a wife to be saved, get ready. This is the day of salvation in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for every man and every woman by the power of the Holy Ghost. I rebuke every attack of the enemy against their life. I command it to go now in the mighty name of Jesus. We send the word to every house. I command depression, anxiety, and panic to flee. And I thank you, Lord, for peace and joy that comes into their heart today. Healing from heaven, flood their bodies today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for it. We give you all the praise and we declare we're blessed and we're not cursed in the wonderful name of Jesus. If you believe that, somebody clap your hands and give Jesus praise today. God bless you. Please be seated. We're going to let you go in just a moment. We're going to encourage you here now. I want to give you a testimony. A wonderful testimony. It's actually very miraculous.
I was praying and saying, God, we need a way to reach more people than ever before with the gospel. Jesus is coming too soon for us to be just doing this on a small scale. And I said, Lord, somehow open the door. It wasn't long after that we had the opportunity. A man came to me from the Caribbean. He said, your father is like a father to me, which means we're like brothers. And he said, I own a television station that is the largest TV station in all of the Caribbean, every island. He said, we're on every island. He said, I want you to come on the TV station. I want you to put a show on the station and preach to every person that can get this in the Caribbean. 39 million people by the power of God. Then I had a friend who lives in India. He said, you know, they don't want Christian TV on over here in India in the Hindu nation. He said, so you know what I did? I did an end and around and built my own TV station. He said, our TV station, we have it now in 40 million homes in India. He said, I want you to come on 5 days a week in prime time. I said, thank you, Jesus. I receive it. So we're getting ready to step out and do the largest thing we've ever done with potential anywhere between 75 million to 100 million people potential being touched with the gospel. And I'm telling you, we're going to go after this with everything we have. Can you say amen? I want to encourage you to sow a seed of faith today to push the gospel forward like never before. Here's what we know is true from the Word of God, that when you connect your resources, your seed, your finances to the kingdom, whatever blessing comes on me for preaching the gospel, it also is credited to your account for sending the gospel. Somebody shout, team effort. And when we team up together, the seeds that we sow by faith make us a part of this end time harvest of souls. And not only that, God doesn't just make you a part of the team. He actually blesses you back abundantly for doing it in faith. And here's what I like. Paul said this. This is so powerful. He said that you'll be abundantly supplied unto every good work. You know what that means? You're not just abundantly supplied financially. It means every area of your life becomes abundantly supplied. My pastor, Bishop Rick, preached it this way one time. He said, you know, people that obey the Lord in their tithes and offerings, those are people that don't have to stand in the prayer line. Why? Because people who attach themselves to the kingdom, God said, all these things will be added unto you. Oh my goodness. All these things. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. Righteousness is living for God. Seeking the kingdom is pushing the agenda of heaven forward through the earth. He said, and when you seek the kingdom first above all else, I'll make sure that these other things other people are dying to get will just be added into your life. So we're going to pray in just a moment. The Holy Ghost is going to speak to you. Hear that word from the Lord. The same pre-existing word that heals your body is the same pre-existing word that'll give you an instruction to sow seed into the kingdom of God. I want you to bow your head. We're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to every man and every woman today as to what you'd have them to sow and to give today in this offering, to push the gospel forward around the world before it's too late. We thank you for it. We will step out in faith, obey your word, and sow this seed in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you glory and praise that we'll never be cursed, we'll always be blessed. We'll never be in lack or poverty, we'll always be living in abundance and an overflow because of our obedience. In the mighty name of Jesus, somebody shout aloud, amen. Amen. Grab an envelope out of the chair in front of you, hold it in your hand. If you're making out a check, please make it payable to the church. If you're giving by debit or credit card, you can do that there on the envelope. The text to give information was already given to you. If you'd like to give gold bullion, you can do that. Lands or properties, cryptocurrencies. If you'd like to give stock options, anything you want. I told them the first service, only offering we don't take is disobedient children. That's the only one we don't want. Hallelujah. But God will bless you abundantly. Can you shout amen? Take a moment. Do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Praise God. Takes time to write all those zeros out after the number. Hallelujah. How many are excited about what God's doing through His Tabernacle Church? Let me just ask you, how many are happy to be a part of a vision that's advancing the kingdom of God? You know what I like? I'm going to tell you one thing that I'm happy about. One reason I really love Pastor Mike and Rhonda. People think, well, it must be nice to have just, you know, a church that's advancing. But see, there's also, you have to take the heat that goes along with it. I am thankful for pastors who don't mind people writing little tongue-in-cheek messages on Facebook about them. Vaguely worded Facebook posts and gossiping in the DMs and
writing letters to the church. You're a heretic. I get excited. The more the heathen rage, the more I dance. You know why? The Bible says this in Psalm 112. The Bible said God will bless the generation of the righteous and upright so much, watch this, that the unrighteous or the wicked will see it. They'll see the level of our blessing and grind their teeth in anger. That is my promise. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that every wicked person who stands against any ministry has to get dentures before the year is over. It don't make me mad. I got so excited. Can I give you a great testimony? I was scrolling through Facebook the other day, and I found my name on 2 false prophets lists. I was so excited to find that. I was so happy. I knew they had miscategorized me because I don't even claim to be a true prophet, let alone a false prophet. I'm an evangelist. So. But I found out later they don't make false evangelist lists. Anyway, you know you're doing something right when religious people are getting angry. When wicked people are getting mad, you're doing something right. You know how I know? Because there's promises in the Bible that can't even be fulfilled in your life until you get some enemies. For example, Psalm 23:5, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your... Let me eat, baby, let me eat, baby, let me eat. Hallelujah. So let me just leave you with the last encouragement before we give. Don't get discouraged if people are mad at you for what you believe. Don't get discouraged if people don't like it because you're Holy Ghost-filled Pentecostal. You believe in speaking in tongues, divine healing, tithing and giving, shouting and praising. Don't get discouraged. Get encouraged, knowing that what you're doing and how you're living for the Lord is making the wicked angry. That's a sign you're pleasing God. If the devil's mad, God is happy. Stand on your feet all over this church. Lift your offering to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, that we are abundantly blessed, that there will never be an attack that comes against our families that the pre-existent word has not already taken care of. As we put this seed into the kingdom today, Lord, we thank you that there's a harvest coming back that is multiplied and much larger than what we're releasing today. Our families will be head and shoulders above the rest in the mighty name of Jesus. You will be able to point at us as a picture of how good you are to your children in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Lord, we call in souls in the Caribbean. We call in souls in India. And we declare that the nations of the world will be saved in Jesus' mighty name. I take authority over the spirit of bondage of sin. I command it to drop off their lives. As they hear the gospel, draw them into the kingdom. We thank you for it and give you praise. Everybody shout aloud, amen. God bless you guys. I love you so much. Don't forget to stop at the table. If you'd like the magazine, sign up. You're dismissed. Come on, give. We'll see you next week. God bless you.